I could have planned a devotional that would have fit the message any better had I given him a topic. So thank you for that, Tim. So we think about the Lamb, and that's where we're going to start in the message this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. There are several places in the scripture where we see that Jesus was either wrapped in some type of material or took one upon himself and wrapped himself. And we're going to look at those this morning and see if there's any correlation between any of those. So starting in Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 through 20 to start with. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So this is the first time we see Jesus being wrapped in something. It was not he did not have the ability here to wrap himself, but he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." I'm going to start out, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here and get too deep in the weeds on this one, but I'm going to start out by sharing from a devotional that I shared, looks like December the 12th of 21, so it's been a few years, but some of you might remember a little of it. As we think about the correlation maybe between Jesus here being wrapped in swaddling clothes and the shepherds that this was announced to, and who these shepherds were. Bethlehem was about 5.5 miles away from Jerusalem, the city there. And in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is a group of documents that were recorded oral traditions that governed Jewish people kind of during the time of the Pharisees. In that, it would have said that it expressly forbids the keeping of flocks throughout the land of Israel except in the wilderness. And the only flocks otherwise kept would be those for the temple services. That was something that they said. You have to keep the sheep and the flocks out in the wilderness. But there was a group of lambs that was kept, or a group of sheep that was kept closer, those particularly being raised for temple worship. Another statement in the Mishnah says that the Messiah would be revealed from the Midgal Eder, which translates as Tower of the Flock. It was an actual tower that stood just outside the town within the temple priest fields, and it was a kind of lookout tower. Turn with me to Micah, the prophet there, in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, and in 5, verse 2. So Micah 4, verse 8, it says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee it shall come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." There seems to be a reference there to that tower of the flock. And in 5:2 it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thou the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting," or from eternity. You can go back to the New Testament now. According to Eusebius, and he was a Palestinian Christian about the 4th century, in his work concerning the place names in sacred scriptures, the Midgol Eder was located 1 Roman mile east of Bethlehem. So if the shepherds would have been out there keeping these sacred flocks, if you will, and the angel showed up, it was about a mile out of town there for them to, and they would have headed on into Bethlehem then to see this one wrapped in swaddling clothes. And according to Alfred Edersheim, in his Life and Times of the Messiah, he believed that this area was likely where the priest shepherds would have been keeping their flocks for temple sacrifices. So these were not just ordinary shepherds keeping sheep that would have been taken for slaughter to eat or whatever. These were special shepherds, priest shepherds, keeping special lambs. Now, the swaddling clothes that Jesus was wrapped in, it's interesting, and I don't know if the shepherds would have correlated, because I'm sure that was done to most babies when they were born. But it is interesting that the angels said, "You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes." According to one source, the newborn lamb was immediately wrapped in clean swaddling clothes to protect them and keep them from blemish and danger. Swaddling clothes in the Bible would describe like a kind of a bandage type cloth that something would be wrapped in. And so if that's the case, as Jesus was wrapped in these swaddling clothes, and these shepherds heard this, it would have made sense that, you know what, we wrap our lambs in these clothes to protect them and keep them, and we're supposed to go find this babe that's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and we have angels telling us this. And then, as we think about this lamb, and that's where I say that the devotional was very fitting. Yes, the next day John seeth Jesus, this is in John 29, coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." So here we have this first time where we see Jesus being wrapped in something here on this earth as the Lamb of God. But more importantly, what I'd like to think about this morning is we see where he is wrapped or clothed with something. Think about the humility that it took for Christ to come here as a human and live among us and die. And in this sense here, have being God himself, yet having someone else wrap him in swaddling clothes to show his, in a sense, his helplessness and his humility as a baby. Colossians 2:9 would say, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He had all the fullness of the Godhead, and yet he was here as a baby. He was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a human body. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, a passage that I really love, and I'm sure you know because you use it occasionally, but I think it fits this very well. Philippians 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 11 because I want us to think about the fact that not only did Christ come and allow himself to be wrapped, if you will, and wrapped with humility, he asked us to do the same. And we can see that in Philippians chapter 2. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Now, if Christ would have had vainglory, he would have never come to earth and lived here and died here. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Christ came And yes, he came for the joy that was set before him, but he came looking out for us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Right here in verse 8 it says that being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and actually became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, which was a horrible death. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Romans 8 it says that God sending forth his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. If you go back to Genesis, about 20, verse chapter 1, about 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let us create man, like us, in a sense, in his likeness. We don't all know what that all entails. But because man sinned, now we see not man being made in the image of God, but to some degree, God coming in the image of man, or in the likeness of man. What a turn of events, and what humility it took, and what, in a sense, not thinking of himself so much, but thinking of us, because he loved the whole world enough to come and die for us. So that is the first time we see that Christ is wrapped in something. Turn with me now to John chapter 13. And I want us to notice the connection in all of these to the theme of humility. The theme of humility. The master, if you will, being willing to come and serve us as humanity, and to give us an example of how we ought to do. So in John chapter 13, we see this is a story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And so I think we'll read verses 3 to 5 here. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Okay, so he knew who he was. He knew that all things were given into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. So there's no question in his mind of who he was, obviously. He rises from supper. Okay, it's interesting that that verse precedes the fact that he rose from supper. He knew who he was. He knew he came from the Father, was going to the Father, but he still got up from supper, laid aside his garments or his outer garments, and took a towel and girded himself or wrapped himself with a towel. Why did he do that? Well, it says, and after he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And the question was by the disciples as they viewed this, they were like, what in the world is going on here? This was not something, as you all know, that the master would do. If someone was a master and a leader and a ruler, and people would come to them when their feet were dirty or dusty or whatever, when they'd come to the house, it was the servant's job to wash the feet. It wasn't the master's job. He wasn't going to do it. I might ask you, if this was common practice today, if you lived in an area where it was dusty and dirty and it was common to have a basin there by the door or water to be drawn to wash visitors' feet, and you were wealthy enough to have some servants or possibly had some slaves, who would you have wash the feet of the visitors when they come? Would you be eager to do it? I don't know that I would. I think I'd say, hey, you're a hired person. You know what your job is. Get those people's feet cleaned up. They're coming to visit me, not coming to visit you. So they knew, without a doubt, who was what was going on here, that it was out of place. It just didn't make sense to them. And yet, starting down at verse 12, it says, "So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your master, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." So again, he is teaching us here what true humility looks like. And the master was demonstrating this to his followers for us to understand and to get an example. And the very fact that he was willing to come to earth and live here and die here was a testament to his, it showed his humility. But then when he's here, to actually stoop down and do this as an example and wash his disciples' feet and show them how to do it. But what's interesting is, if you think about what Christ is doing here, this is right before he goes to the cross. Right before he goes. Washing his disciples' feet, as great of an example that was, paled in comparison to what he was going to be doing very soon after this. Actually go to the cross and suffer a horrible death, the master for the servants, if you will, his Lord and Master. The Lord and Master, he said, "You call me Lord and Master, and you're saying it right. That's who I am." But just soon after this, he goes to the cross and is crucified and dies a horrible death as Lord and Master for his disciples, for you and for me. The humility that took, it said there in Philippians that he humbled himself. He humbled himself and did this for us. Well, that was the second time that we see him being wrapped or in something. And I'm sure you're probably already thinking ahead of the next time, which happens soon after this one. So turn with me. Let's look at the story from Luke. It's in a couple of different passages, but let's look at Luke chapter 23. The first instance that we looked at was when he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in that manger there. And someone else did it for him. He couldn't do it for himself. Someone else wrapped him in those clothes. The second one we looked at there, he did it himself. He wrapped himself in that, girded himself. This one that we're going to look at, again, he couldn't do it. Someone else did it for him. So in Luke chapter 23, we're going to look at verses 50 to 53. It says, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just, and the same was had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid." And incidentally, that idea of never before laid, many of the sepulchers and so forth, they would actually put someone in there, and to a point where maybe as gruesome as it sounds, maybe there was not much left but the bones or whatever, and they would put those in another place, and they would put someone else in that same tomb. No one had ever been in this tomb before. And Jesus was laid there, but he was wrapped again in linen. Someone else wrapped him in those clothes or in that cloth. And again, I want to go back and think about the fact that in Philippians 2, where we had looked at earlier, it says he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Again, what a show of humility that the God of heaven, the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt, would actually die. His body died. And someone else wraps it out of respect for him to start an embalming process to a certain extent. But he was wrapped in linen. He died for us. And there he was, wrapped. And I guess I thought about this. The God of the universe wearing grave's clothes. Isn't that a paradox that doesn't even make sense? The God of the universe wrapped in grave clothes. And yet he was. What a paradox. But, in a few days, he left those clothes behind. Praise God. He left those behind. Turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I think this is after the resurrection of Christ, and there you'll see the confusion of like Mary and some of those ladies, and maybe I'll just start reading at verse 1 of chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, which would have been John, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord from out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came to the sepulcher. And stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went in unto the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which had come first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. He left the grave clothes behind. And he put on different clothing. And we're going to look at that in a moment. He put on something different. Praise God, he left the wrappings and the linen clothes and the grave clothes behind. We wouldn't be here this morning if his body would still be wrapped in those clothes, laying in a sepulcher. Again, I think each of these show a sense of humility. And yet, out of that, great victory. So a question for us this morning is, what should we be wearing, or what should we be clothed in? And 1 Peter 5 says this, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. That's what we need to be clothed in, is humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a lot in those couple of verses. But we are to be clothed with humility. Why? Because God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And then it says that he will exalt us in due time. Well, if you're just looking for that exaltation, you probably haven't humbled yourself enough. But there is a sense in which Jesus was exalted because he was willing to humble himself even to the death of the cross. So are we willing to humble ourselves? And then it's interesting that it says in that, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. What does casting our cares upon him have to do with being clothed with humility? I think often when we come to realize that in our own strength, we can't do much. Yeah, God asks us to do things in his kingdom and for him, of course. But it's on his strength. If we humble ourselves and recognize that God is the one with the power and the strength, then we can cast our cares on him, and that comes out of humility. Too often, at least for myself, I'm going to figure out how to do it. I'm going to manage to do it. I can handle this. And I think sometimes God sits back and says, okay, we'll see how this works out. Because we're not humbling ourselves and casting all our cares on him. We cast all our cares on ourselves, if you will. Now, there will be a time if we remain humble and we remain one of his children that the scripture says that we will have other garments that we're clothed in. Garments that are fine white linen, which the scripture says is the righteousness of the saints. But we must accept, first of all, the sacrifice of the humble servant, Jesus Christ, that came to earth. Now, I said that he put on something else after the grave clothes. Turn with me to Revelation 19. And I read this because as we looked at what it took for him to come to earth, to be wrapped as a baby, to wrap himself with a towel, to serve and to show as an example to his disciples what service means, and then to be wrapped in grave clothes. But here is who we serve today, and this is where Jesus is at today, if you will, or the, not sure how to say it exactly. We say where he's at today. But this is his standing now and will be as we look at the future. In Revelation 19, starting at verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed," now we're seeing him clothed again, not with grave clothes, "he was clothed with a vesture," or with a garment, "dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that it with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture," or on his robe, "and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we serve, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he came as a baby. He showed us how to serve. He humbled himself to the death of the cross, wrapped in grave clothes, but he took them off. And now he's going to be clothed with a vesture dipped in blood and a robe that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the God that we serve. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to be willing to be clothed with humility. Your wonderful example that you gave to us. Lord, help us to ever remember what it took for you to come and to live here and to die here. But praise God, you rose again. And someday, Lord, you're coming back in great power and great victory. And Lord, help us to be ready, each of us, for that time, to go and to live with you and to be clothed in fine white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. God, we pray that you would just, your spirit would dwell in us. You would speak to us. You would show us, Lord, where we need to grow in you so that we can be ready for that time. Thank you for salvation, Lord. I pray that each one here has received it, that it's old enough to understand. If not, Lord, just speak to each heart and draw us to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.